Welcome to the Mindful Medicina Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanette Daniels. I'm a naturopathic medical doctor on a mission to inspire a renewed confidence in the intelligence of the human body. And joining the conversation today is my friend and colleague, Janelle Hartman, lymphatic and colon hydrotherapist, esteemed yoga teacher of teachers, and the co-producer of this show. In this lively conversation, we connect with Mikael Lee, founder of Aether's Reach, a multifaceted mission providing resources for true human freedom on all levels. Mikael leads a continued exploration of chlorine dioxide as a staple in our decentralized medicine paradigm. What is the chemistry? Why does it work? How can I begin to use it? Knowledge can ease intimidation, and Mikael is a wonderful teacher in this regard. Infused within this transmission is a broader message of sovereignty, the power of reflection upon these various aspects of chlorine dioxide draw us to the threshold of a radical redefinition of medicine itself, and the part we are individually destined to play within this global shift. But hey, we're just three strong women talking shop. Mikael is a musician, holistic health practitioner, and educational guide. She believes in the body's innate ability to return to vitality and that we are each our own best healer. With formal training as a yoga instructor, ergonomics consultant, functional nutrition counselor, quantum coach, and craniosacral therapist, she works with a few clients at a time, sometimes hosting them in her therapeutic cottage called Danny's Place. She believes in the pursuit of truth and expresses this through her music and work with the youth. Mikael loves walking alongside others on their spiritual journey back to personal sovereignty and the remembrance of self.
Mindful Medicina listeners, we are so excited to have Mikael Lee here today from Sandpoint, Idaho. She has an incredible project, a life project, a mission called Aether's Reach, and she's going to talk to us more about chlorine dioxide. We had the amazing Dr. Andreas Kalker on the last episode, and he gave us some incredible information. We're going to drill down and go deeper today. And welcome, Mikael. I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about what you have been up to.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be here, especially following somebody like Dr. Kalker. I can't wait to hear that conversation that you had. I hail from the Seattle area, actually, as both of you do, and have found myself over the last 6 years doing a big pivot. It was coincidentally timed with the COVID shift. I was in the corporate world for almost 20 years, ending up doing ergonomics, which felt always like a band-aid career, like I liked it. I was into body work and preventative health, but I really always wanted to be a naturopath. And I actually had applied to Bastyr three separate times and gone through the process, and then for whatever reason, pulled out. That last time, I was actually looking at midwifery instead, and it was in 2019, and I wanted to make the career shift, but because of the vaccine mandates that they still require all of their students to go through, I just didn't feel aligned. So when I had started the process of leaving that ergonomics world, and when COVID came, it was just like, this is, I think I'm supposed to go, you know, help with whatever my role is here, alternatives to this this narrative that we must be scared and there's nothing we can do except stay away from each other and, you know, all the trauma of that. it just lit something under me. It was like, okay, here we go, let's do this. And it's clear now I'm not really supposed to be part of that bigger paradigm, because there are some of us that are just finding different avenues of working, like myself. I got a few holistic certifications. I'm a functional nutritionist and a certified health coach. And I have been practicing or working with people in the private realm, which was a whole learning experience over the last 6 years to even understand its existence. But it's allowed me to be completely autonomous and do things like use hyperbaric oxygen with my community without needing a doctor's prescription. That's actually what started the exploration of it. And now I can work with things like chlorine dioxide legally, lawfully. I always really try to communicate and work with people who feel like they're in charge of their health. You know, we're just like guides walking alongside each other. I'm always learning from the people who I interact with. So it's been a really humbling journey, and I marvel at those of us that are finding each other and connecting, and we're all here to kind of like grow this network and really kind of build the next system, is what it feels like at the end of the day. I think I wondered over the years, I was big into vaccine advocacy when they were coming for philosophical exemptions in Washington. And I wondered if like the world would ever see behind the veil of vaccines and if the house of cards would fall. And clearly now it seems like it will, mm-hmm. which is exciting. It's just an exciting time. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the gist. That was my transition. I don't have like a robust practice. I tend to work with one or two people at a time. I've led a few group like detox protocols with small groups. And what I'm mostly focused on is working through the cottage that we built on our property that has some healing technology. But because life is what it is, and I have children and lots of other irons in the fire, that looks like a couple clients a year for whatever duration of time is necessary. I just kind of trust that those people will come in when they're supposed to. And then, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of capacity to work in a residential setting like that. I would like to grow that part of things down the road when there's more mm-hmm. bandwidth for it.
Right.
And yeah, that's the gist.
Thank you. And when did chlorine dioxide come into the picture for you?
Great question. It was around 2010, and I was doing you hear vaccines come up a lot. I mean, that's really kind of been the gateway topic for my awakening, I'd say, in the medical field. I was researching vaccines because I had children. And it might have been a few years later when the philosophical exemptions started to be under fire. But I came across Carrie Riviera and her work. And she's been an amazing pioneer, and she's been vilified, you know, publicly, and she's heavily censored right now. But she was using it to work with kids with autism. And the problem of autism, and I say that respectfully, but the breadth of it really, really impacted me when I realized the connection between autism and vaccines. And I think there's a lot more to that story, but I just became really compelled to like be a part of the solution. And that's one reason I got the certifications I did. And I do foresee working more with kids in a residential setting. But chlorine dioxide came on my radar through Carrie Riviera back then. And it was like pioneering work for her using it with children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the whole vaccine front of things and understanding the toxicity and negative side effects associated with them that really kind of had you inspired to deep dive into naturopathic alternatives and also basically preventative medicine from a decentralized perspective, because vaccines are centralized. I use the term loosely, medicine. They're actually poison. And so that sounds like it was your whole motive was pioneered from that perspective of these things are toxic, these vaccines are toxic, and I have children and I want to shield them.
Yeah, and it was just another understanding that, oh wow, there are solutions. We're told there's nothing you can do. You know, I remember looking at the National Institute of Health, I think, website, and for autism, they really only prescribe a few antidepressants or something. They diagnose it as incurable, and it was just another layer of understanding of, wow, people are, you can heal from it. And yeah, I didn't mention this, but what really sparked my interest in natural health was when my dad went through a cancer journey. He was 44 when he passed. Wow. And I was finishing up a biology degree at the time. I was in my early 20s and I was fully on board to the medical system. Like I wanted to be a PT at that time or something in the medical field. I, you know, wholeheartedly researched the cancer protocols and trials that the chemo that he was being recommended. And it's like, I just became completely disillusioned as I watched that system. And I'll never forget going to the hospital pharmacy and like buying $13,000 worth of chemo or something on my parents' credit card. And just thinking like, something's not right here. You just start to pull away the layers and it's like, I think cancer is curable and there's probably a better way here. And so the chlorine dioxide realization, it just felt like such a broadly effective and benign and accessible and cheap medicine. Because when you understand what it does in the body, it, you know, it's kind of got ubiquitous applications.
But Mikkel, how could it be benign when it's bleach? Why are we putting bleach inside of us?
Insert sarcasm, everybody. Yeah.
I got that. Yeah. It's crazy. Like I think I have a presentation that I do that I'm always refining. I do it sometimes. And I like to point out articles that were in the media just attribute, essentially saying it is bleach. And then following that with just a quick chemistry lesson, it is not bleach. It has a different chemical formula. It just happens to have the chlorite iodine in it, or chlorine in it. So, and the same name. It's so crazy how impactful that is though, for the media to just be able to call it that.
Yeah.
And it's completely untrue.
It's trusting the media science.
Yeah. It's they've just got their journalist own scientists.
Yeah, yep. You can discredit anything by sort of making fun of it. And especially if you use a caricature like, Dr. Trump or Dr. Fauci or any of these doctor governors, you can sort of make dumb down something like ivermectin and say, oh, it's horse, this. So people will laugh at it and think it's ridiculous, you know.
And
so
it's shrouded in the aversion too. And you mentioned this in the seminar that I listened to, just coming across so many practitioners that just don't know anything about it. So it's dismissed, or they take this one little something that they've heard and they're so desperate to just be able to know something about it, and it's negative. So that's it. It's off the table. But I thought, okay, what a great way to just go into what you mentioned, that it's, we know that it's not bleach, but could you talk about the chemical structure? Give us a little 101 on that. And then the mechanism of action related to it.
Yes. So chlorine dioxide is basically made with sodium chlorite and an acid activator. And what I love is it contains elements that are all found within the body. So NaCl is sodium chlorite, and then you're going to add, and I need to look at my notes probably. I'm having a little bit of a brain moment, but you're going to add an active acid or an active activator, like an acid. So HCl is the one I like to use. You can use citric acid too, but since that isn't innate to the body, I like to activate it with HCl because that's stomach acid.
Can I just pause just really quick? You also mentioned that citric acid is often grown on GMO corn. So
it is.
Insert fact there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem, right?
Yeah. HCl is native to the body.
Yes, HCl is native to the body. Sodium chlorite is, I'm looking at the formula here, it's NaClO, and two oxygens. And that's right, we need some oxygen. So what happens when the acid activates, when these two compounds come together, so again, we have sodium, which is in the body, chlorite, which is in the body, oxygen, all in the body, and we're going to add HCl. They're just benign on their own. When you add them together, which we do when we make MMS, or Master Mineral Solution, essentially it creates a chemical reaction is created that frees the oxygen from the NaCl, NaClO2. And so that oxygen, that free oxygen, becomes a powerful element in the body. And it's through its oxidative effects, it will go and oxidize pathogens, essentially. Now, I say this with a caveat that I don't totally believe in. I don't know what I believe anymore from a science perspective. I think some atomic theory and germ theory can be questioned. But we know that oxygen is very powerful in the body, regardless of the mechanism. The mainstream way of thinking about it, what I learned when I was studying biology and chemistry, is it oxidizes things. So it steals their electrons, rendering them ineffective anymore. So there's also an intelligence to it that has to do with like the valence electrons and things, and they're more drawn to pathogens essentially instead of healthy biomes, mm-hmm. healthy organisms. So in the gut flora, they're not going to kill your quote good bacteria. They're going to go after bacteria that's over proliferated, perhaps, or it can neutralize glyphosate, which is huge. Mm-hmm. Mm. Stephanie Seneff, are you familiar with her work at all?
No, mm-hmm. No.
She's written a couple papers about it, but yeah, I mean, it's a way of getting glyphosate out of the gut, which is extremely valuable.
Which is what you want to do, because that, glyphosate facilitates the uptake of fluoride to the brain. And, you know, I mean, that has deleterious effects. Mm-hmm. So yeah, glyphosate in general is just, to me, it's almost like a chemotherapy.
Yeah.
You know, to the gut.
We learned from Morley Robbins too, that it chelates mm-hmm. copper out of your system mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does
yeah.
it really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It also gets aluminum into the brain. That's yeah. based on Stephanie Sennett's work.
Yeah, that she's too.
Mm-hmm. Like an escort for it to the brain.
Jeez.
So oh. yeah, I mean, that in itself is a huge application. And I think that might be one of the underlying mechanisms of its effectiveness, mm-hmm. you know, especially when you're looking at, not especially any ill person, but kids with autism, I do think probably have an overabundance, you know, of glyphosate in their guts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the heavy metal cleansing that oftentimes is accompanying the lift of the symptoms of autism, it makes sense too that would be at the source of really being able to help start clearing it out. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So to finish the chemical reaction, when those two compounds mix, oxygen is freed up, then you end up with NaCl, mm-hmm. which is just table salt in the mm-hmm. body, mm-hmm. and hydrogen. Mm. I'm sorry, not hydrogen. You just end up with NaCl. Mm-hmm. And so you're ending up with these things that are innate in the body. We're not going to have toxic effects of too much NaCl or oxygen. Mm. And that's what I love about chlorine dioxide. It sounds so scary. It looks so medical too. Like I actually formulate it. And I've tried to make the bottles look prettier and more like, you know, like
skull and bones wasn't working, huh?
Right.
Sugar skulls.
The name itself, you know, it's so pharmaceutical sounding. And I've had this talk with people and it does turn people off or scare them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the way that it's working is that it is thieving these electrons from microbes, or even in the case of cancer, the electrons is actually what we want as a human being in an, you know, in an electrical state. So we're electrical bodies, first and foremost. We'll just start there. And so because of that, electricity, electrons, we need electrons on every front. And where we get our first version of an antioxidant, and an antioxidant is something that donates electrons. That's what it is. So your first touch with electron source is your bare feet to the earth. As the sun is a cathode ray and the earth is an anode, your feet that have the sweat glands on the bottom of them, as do your hands, when you touch wet soil, wet sand, wet dirt, you draw up and into your system these electrons, okay? So we actually want electrons as a, you know, healthy species. When you have toxic microbes of any kind, we don't want them to have these electrons because electrons are life. And so what it sounds like is the chlorine dioxide is taking said electron source from these microbes we don't want. How they differentiate what we want versus we don't want in us is God's source information. I don't know how chlorine dioxide knows to take these electrons from this microbe, but not this one. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that is to be determined still. But I just wanted to bring that information to the table that electrons, good. Electrons to microbes, cancer, not good. We don't want them to have this life force. Mm-hmm.
That was a great description. And it leads me to this other important part of chlorine dioxide or thing to understand versus other oxidative medicines or components like ozone and hydrogen peroxide. We're all familiar. Those are used for health as well. And chlorine dioxide is unique in that it has the least oxidative potential and the most oxidative capacity, meaning it is able to take away the most electrons, and it has it's the least corrosive. Mm-hmm. The oxidative potential is the corrosivity. So that's why when you use hydrogen peroxide, you get the bubbling. It's actually corrosive. Mm-hmm. So it's the gentlest in the body, mm-hmm. With the least power, essentially, or the most power.
Mm-hmm. And in comparison to ozone, what is your analysis there?
Yeah, I mean, ozone is awesome. They have different kind of purposes, I would say. Ozone isn't quite as powerful as far as the electron situation, and it's a little more corrosive. Ozone, they both can be used in a gas form. Ozone used to, I think, have a great application in like gaseous airing out rooms. A lot of people have ozone generators for mold and things, but there are shelf stable chlorine dioxide products that are starting to go into that space. Mm-hmm. So like bombs, chlorine dioxide bombs. And mm-hmm. in theory, I think they'd be a bit more effective because mm-hmm. yeah.
And you have
in theory.
And I was fascinated too when talking about the applications. Just things that come up, especially like living in Seattle where we've got a lot of dampness, the mold remediating properties of the gaseous state of this, even limb bagging with it, like mm-hmm. like you would with ozone. Mm-hmm. But could you talk a little bit about the mold remediation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I will say quickly, I was in a dogfight injury and I had 22 stitches in my hand. It was a pretty big injury. And bagging with chlorine dioxide was like the best thing. It's interesting. Even taking it internally, bagging seemed to be optimal for that, which was cool. Mm-hmm. So chlorine dioxide has applications for mold internally and then also in the environment. Mm. Talking about the environment, like I mentioned, there's this product line, Superstratum, which I love. They've just nailed down the science of it and the protocols. They're offering like a cheap alternative and a DIY alternative for mold remediation. And my husband and I, he's in the building industry. We've actually helped a few people with their moldy homes using those products. So that's super exciting. And again, it does no harm. You're not bleaching surfaces. And mold remediation is tricky because often this is, I'm not an expert, and it's such a sensitive and nuanced field that I stay in my lane with it, but I do understand that some mold remediation can only wipe out the less virulent strains or active strains, leaving like the most dangerous strains behind to proliferate. Mm. So chlorine dioxide seems to have just a broad ability to neutralize all the mold species and mycotoxins too, because mycotoxins are what mold produces. And those are actually like the toxic components of mold, mm-hmm. as you guys probably know. From an internal perspective, Jim Humble, who was one of the pioneers or the pioneer of MMS for internal use, he has a mold fungus protocol, and essentially you're taking chlorine dioxide in a consistent pattern. So for any protocol, you're essentially doing multiple doses of it a day, spaced out about an hour apart. You're really trying to just flood the body consistently with chlorine dioxide. But he has an addition to that, using bentonite clay in between doses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it's like pulling out the mold. Mm.
The binder. Yeah. You need the binders there. And mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to mention, just kind of geek out a little bit, the chlorine, we were talking about ozone versus chlorine dioxide, you know, the oxidative potential and also the strength differences between them. So the chlorine dioxide is more powerful than ozone because it can actually accept or take 5 electrons, where ozone can take 2. So their potential for taking on the bad guys is higher, right? Mm-hmm. 5 electrons versus mm-hmm. 2 with the ozone. And the oxidative potential of the chlorine dioxide is 0.93, whereas ozone is 2.07, making it more corrosive, if you will. But you don't want to sell ozone as something, oh, it's corrosive. It's not like, you know, water on a nail and you're going to get rusting. I mean, you're more likely to have more of a rusting process by eating the brown tops of muffins and, you know, like charred meat, right? So anyway, so I just wanted to give a little bit of numbers there to give a visual of what that looks like, chlorine dioxide taking 5 electrons versus 2 with ozone. So I do EBU here in office. I do IV ozone therapy. And so, we see some great benefits in clearance of these like Lyme mycotoxins, that kind of thing. But we're also using the ozone more specifically since COVID and COVID vaccine injuries for severe autoimmune diseases that people are getting from taking the COVID shots. I've got several ALS patients, for example, and then the turbo cancer. So my entire patient population has changed since COVID from bioidentical hormone replacement to really managing damage control from the COVID bioweapon itself and also the COVID vaccine, which is another bioweapon unto itself. So I'm using a lot of ozone for this reason, that I am trying to create and take, electrons from said, mycotoxins, like all of that. But the problem, the concern I have is where we get into the technology of things, because bioweapons, as we move from biology or bioweapons, what about, we have technology weapons, right? Implanting things, that kind of thing. And, so that gets into a whole nother conversation we can have some other time. But the for now, as we deal with biological weapons, if you will. So I'm with you in the camp of, I don't know what I believe in anymore, because it's the more you learn, the more you realize that every single thing is a lie. Like, there's no such thing as a virus. Right. You could go to talk about Dr. Tom Cohen. Mm-hmm. Right. There's no such thing as a virus. Has anyone ever, there's no such thing as a herpes, mm-hmm. It's all the toxic release of a vaccine coming out of your skin. A wart is not a virus. It is a toxin releasing out of the body. So when I'm communicating with my patients, I'm very careful about stating what I believe to be truth. And usually that is, I don't know crap, right? I start there. But what I do know is that we don't know for sure what we're contending with other than your body is having a detox reaction. So every single thing I treat, quote unquote, treat as a doctor is not a virus, is not a cancer. It is a detox release. I think every single thing, we can throw out all the labels, throw out every diagnosis. What we're contending with is the body's attempt to heal itself, remove a toxin, remove a poison from the body that was created by the industry, by the powers we don't want to be. I don't believe in human disease. I don't believe it is a natural state of human beingness. When you look at animals in the wild, you don't see them sneeze. You don't see them have cancer because human disease is created, period.
I'm feeling emotional. Yeah, I'm with you. And that was a beautiful summary of it. I wish that some of my friends and family could have heard you explain that, you know? It's a lonely perspective, though, at this point in time. But I feel like I know less than I ever knew. And I don't, I have like less capacity for understanding the mechanisms. I used to geek out when I was like in college and high school. I loved the chemistry. Even now, just the like, I wanted to cite the amount of electrons that chlorine dioxide had to donate versus ozone, but I don't quite remember those. And this might sound really woo-woo. I would want to check first. I think that my brain is shifting as it's supposed to. Like, I just don't get into the weeds on the mechanics of things anymore because I don't think we really know. And have you gotten into Stephen Young's work at all by chance?
No.
He's amazing. He's an astrophysicist that like went to the highest levels of the academia he could. And like, he's unraveling it. Anyway, that's a huge tangent, but I'm with you. And all these things that we think happened to us, you know, we got this, we were afflicted by this.
Turning against me. It's autoimmune. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Whoa.
Totally.
Yeah. Like God put us in this world where there are all these like vicious things to be afraid of. No. Yeah. I'm with you. I love that you could bring that perspective to the space in the Seattle area because we're here right now. Like I had mentioned, it's hard to be in the city. I'm not going to lie. Like you just feel it. There are lots of masks still.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you're there, like standing firm and doing the work.
Yeah. I guess I'm lucky in that. You kind of don't sound like a nice person when you say you don't really care what people think of you. What I care more about is doing right by God and telling the truth of things matters more to me than an opinion of the medical industry or my colleagues or whatever. And so what ends up happening is that I question everything I'm doing. Is this actually the medicine? Is this actually working? Does this do anything? And then at the end of the day, me as a doctor, I find all I'm doing is providing a space to be human with another, to be a spirit with another spirit. I'm sharing space. I believe more in the energy of healing than I do in the biology of healing. Like say, you know, I give an Ibu and then we have these great conversations. We go to the deepening of things. And I find the actual medicine was in the getting to know you, telling your story, processing your energetics, your emotions, your traumas, and just being there for someone, I think is far more medicinal than any IV I give, for example. I believe in the power of the exchange between human spirits more than I do in the technology or the biology of the things that I can offer as a doctor.
I love that. I totally agree.
And what's great about, you know, what you're learning that and learning the power that you can be healing to other people without having a doctor's degree. And, you know, owing $500,000, you know, which is a whole nother psyop. Here, give us $500,000 and we're going to tell you what you can and can't say is healing and medicinal. And we find that medicine is everywhere. And you don't have to have $500,000 piece of paper to be medicine to each other.
Mm-hmm. It's a big program to break. Yeah, and medicine to each other, I think, really is also like finding what we're here to do and mm-hmm. walking that path, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So for me, I mentioned like there's also this creative side that keeps knocking at the door. And like that's my medicine to my kids, for example, to lead by example. This is the thing that I think actually has healing capacity in the world, but I'm just really doing it for myself because it's kind of the scariest thing that there is. And it's the thing that keeps knocking. Like if you were to find out you were going to die in a year, what would you do? That. So I really think helping each other, walking alongside each other and finding our purpose here during these times is like the root of everything. And it's interesting. I've had a few clients who there's this block to truth. And it's like, they just like, don't take away my Taylor Swift or, ooh, that's too much. And I kind of feel like that's the root of what they have going on physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just something there. You got to look at it all and be willing to completely change what you thought was true yesterday. I mean, there's such, I just try to be humble and like, let just pray that the truth comes in because it's shifting rapidly, like this world we live in. Mm-hmm. I love the kindred spirits. I assumed you guys were on the same page with a lot of that, but it really feels like most things are just inverted, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The upside down world. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would say that the system, even if it tells you 99% truth, which is extraordinarily generous of me to say, they the goal is to give you some truths so that you believe the lies. Mm-hmm. That's the psyop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Because you can see that it's true and we can feel that there's truth to some of that. Yeah, I agree with that. But and also like just in terms of healing, at the end of the day, we are so much more powerful than we think. So I think if you believe what you're doing is healing, that's the most important part. Mm-hmm. And we just need to get out of the body's way. So it sounds like our practice is similar, like remove the things that are impeding the body from doing its job. And it starts really simple. Minerals. We're so depleted of minerals for multiple reasons, but calcium, for example, is like the master mineral. It is required for all the other minerals, it's my understanding, to be utilized. And this non-native EMF that we're exposed to mm-hmm. constantly and increasingly impacts our calcium, voltage-gated calcium channels in our cells. Again, here's some science that I'm choosing to believe, but it makes sense. And so we actually can't uptake and use calcium as well because of the non-native EMF. So I have a product that I love using called Minqual. It's a mineral colloid. It has multiple forms of calcium. And like, it just seems broadly helpful for people because we all need more minerals and we need bioavailable ones. And anyway, mm-hmm. and the root of that though, to your point, is that this isn't a natural situation. it's the EMFs that we're subjected to now.
Absolutely. And that, to me, being the most toxic of all things they can do, because as electrical beings, you get these cross signals. And it is absolutely, we're being radiated nonstop. In fact, we were being radiated when they put the initial antennas up back in the 1800s. And you saw the first case of Alzheimer's and cancer with that. And then each quote-unquote pandemic that comes about is coming out at the same time that they're creating a higher G, like a 3G, 4G, 5G. And Dr. Tom Cohen's outlines those time periods where you can see smallpox came out, you know, at the start of the antennas and all that, and then 5G with COVID. And it's like, is there actually a bioweapon, or did you make that up? And it was actually, you just turned the 5G on. Right. And so you're getting this electrical poisoning, this radiation poisoning. So it's easy to lie to people when you say the invisible blah, 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 like which is we've heard Trump say so many times, the invisible enemy. And it's like, well, I've never seen a COVID virus. I've never seen, I can't see radiation, I can't see EMF, but I know it's working because you and I can see you on the computer screen. And it's like, I could talk to somebody in Italy, and all that radiation that's going through all of these buildings to get to my phone is terrifying, right? So anyway, with that said, the electrical front, again, electrons, electricity, electrical beings, the radiation is to me probably the thing that we need to focus on as far as medicine goes. And that's what Einstein was saying, is the doctors of the future will be dealing in energy medicine, because I think we're going to need to contend with this imbalance to our nervous system, our vagus nerve. Our entire electrical being is being offset by the grid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it would be horrifying to imagine them dropping the grid to a complete and total silence. All of a sudden, the world is silent, except for all the crazy, scary stuff that would happen in a hospital with the grid going down or accidents. But my point is that the grid is actually something I'm concerned about.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm very much with you. I think technology in general, as much as it can be helpful, I'm like that Luddite over here that wishes it never were even introduced. Mm-hmm. And like AI, I have very strong feelings about AI. Again, I feel lonely in the world because maybe, you know, I always reserve the right to change my mind. So 5 months from now, I might be embracing it, but and I have no judgment, truly, because most people I know are using it, but I'm extremely leery of it. And I have witnessed, you know, situations with people I know. And I think there's an energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's part of this grid you're talking about, and it all goes together. And so I'm personally choosing to be the part of the experiment that's not even dabbling in it at all. I've never logged on to ChatGPT. That's what it is. I am guarded of my energy for, you know, more than anything. I try to be. The best medicine is bare feet in the earth every morning and night, and as much as possible, you know, we're speaking the same thing, and that's all free and accessible and so much more powerful than people realize. Like the LED lights, right?
Oh yeah.
I'm super sensitive now. At night, like I just can't have lights on. We're slowly moving to incandescence, but our bodies are just so electrically out of whack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeanette and I are also cave people when the sun goes down. we have our pink salt lamps.
I mean, listen to this, right? So
my husband's like, oh my God.
I know. Everyone who comes over, I can't see the ping pongs, you know, because I have a ping pong table. I can't see, you know. But I used to take progesterone once I got into menopause, I wasn't sleeping through the night anymore without that progesterone. So I started taking progesterone. I was, man, that stuff works. Knocked my butt out. But here's what's fascinating about the light conversation, because as I learned about unopposed blue light and how that, you know, is basically equivalent to solar noon. So your brain thinks it's noon. Why the heck is it going to secrete melatonin? Well, it's not. So I've replaced all my bulbs with incandescent light bulbs and red light. And I got off my progesterone. I sleep. I mean, I'm like, I am in a coma after about an hour of sitting in healthy, proper light in the evening, and no longer need progesterone for sleep. So, oh man, the lighting environment. That was our first like four episodes we did for our podcast. Like almost 3 years ago, we got to talk to Dr. Jack Cruz and have great conversation around sun and light and all of that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we're right there with you.
Mm-hmm. That's timely for me too. I have this desire to, you know, go into menopause gracefully. I don't think we were made to need things, right?
No,
exactly. Yeah, well, the sun is needed to make hormones. I was just having this conversation this week with a patient. And so it's like, how can I get more thyroid? Well, you need to go out in the sun and get the UVA. You also need to get the UVA to make your sex hormones. And so once we get into menopause, women's ovaries are not, you know, doing the estrogen production anymore and such like that. But where you do get it is from the adrenals, because you get the DHEA from the adrenals, which converts into testosterone and estrogen. So I need my menopausal women to not be stressed, because you're getting your hormones from your adrenals, from the conversion of DHEA, apparently, and from, you know, wink, wink, and then from the sun. The freaking sun is your pharmacy. Mm-hmm. This is what we say. Yeah.
My dad died of melanoma, and I'm like, no sunscreen. You know, kids, get out there. And a lot of people think I'm crazy. Like, your dad died of melanoma. Be afraid of the sun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Jack Cruz will tell you it's actually the deficiency of sun that causes that melanoma, by the way. So, And there's studies on that. And you can go back and listen to our other episodes on the sun, because we'll talk about sun forever. But
it's funny. The sun goes down and our houses are dark except for our nice lighting. But then when we're out in the sun, no sunglasses. We're like, you know, it's incredible. Like, how my eyesight is improved. I've got my husband into it. Like, we've been, both of us intuitively, I think for years, just no sunglasses, pulling that light in through the eyes. Yeah. We're not staring at the sun like idiots. We're letting the photons in, but that's another, you know, we got into that conversation as well in the first few episodes. But yeah, I mean, it's just incredible, the decentralized resources that we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the word I was just going to say. Decentralized medicine, which is basically what chlorine dioxide is. It's decentralized, and anything that they are poo-pooing or trying to shut down, I want to know about. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling me that chlorine dioxide is chlorine and not telling me the truth of things, then you know this is medicinal to the physical, biological form that we are embodying. I want to know about it, which is why we brought you on, because we wanted to tether your knowledge on the MMS with the chlorine dioxide and compare and contrast, because if they don't want us to know about it, we want to talk about it. We want to know, right?
You know, like, you're over the target, I think, in those cases. Yeah. So what else can I share? I feel like it's something everybody can have in a house.
Yes.
Everybody should have for emergency. It's emergency water purification. Mm-hmm. And there are such good tutorials available. Like I said, I make and sell it, but I think everybody should have the raw materials and should learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if they feel drawn to that, it's very easy. You take sodium chloride flakes, you can buy them on Amazon, all sorts of places, and hydrochloric acid. And most of the time, hydrochloric acid needs to be diluted. Mm-hmm. To 4%. And there are just calculators online. The Universal Antidote is my favorite site for teaching. He has videos, he has it written out, whatever your learning style is, it's covered. So that's something that I am exploring. The the talks that I've done about chlorine dioxide are always super attended. People are really interested in it. And I do intend to do some more lives on Substack, like here's how to make it, and just dive into the topics a little bit more so people feel comfortable, because I get it. I bought it and it sat in my cupboard for a year and a half. I was scared of it. And now I give it to a baby, and I have lots of stories of using it with my kids, and my kids have never been on antibiotics, knock on,
nice. You know, that's
grateful for that. But I now feel even more confident that they won't need them. You know, I've been using this tool for about 6 years, I'd say. 2020 is when I was like, I need to get some of that stuff, figure it out.
And you said babies. How about fur babies?
Fur babies, for sure. Yeah, there are lots of resources. Oh, gosh. Yes, good stories. You know, a friend's dog got engaged in barbed wire and had a huge wound on his chest. And we took him to the vet. And, you know, it was going to be $1,000 in and out procedure. He would have had to go under general anesthesia, then have antibiotics and all the drugs in his system, like from the anesthesia. Instead, we sprayed chlorine dioxide on it for a few days and it just healed.
Awesome. Yeah.
I mean, you could have sprayed other things too, but our bodies are so much smarter than we realize.
Yeah. It's all this trauma that we go, including the trauma to your pocketbook. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That industry runs on fear, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And my kids finally know to not ask about going to the vet, because they just thought that was part of it. We got kittens. Like, we need to take them to the vet and let's go to the vet. And they stopped asking.
You see that going back to what I said about the animals in the wild don't have disease. And then as soon as you domesticate an animal, it has human, quote unquote, human diseases, because we're doing the same thing to them that we're doing to ourselves. Right. We're vaccinating them and we're eating processed food. They're eating processed food, canned food, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So if you get into the centralized programming, your animal is going to suffer the same diseases.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking about energy, medicine, and frequency. Also, it's, you know, it's worth saying too, like, we're both like super cat people. crazy about cats. And both cats and dogs do. I know they do this. And many of our pets, whatever it is, your pot-bellied pig, whatever it is, they really mirror our emotional sickness. They will take our conditions, like, and so that's the other thing I think, you know, when you said when they're domesticated, I thought of that, was then they also come into our field and they start to mirror those things and actually even shamanically, like, take our sickness sometimes.
Yeah, and we had a podcast episode about that.
Yes, right. The healing power of cats.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to watch that. I have a cat healer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. People will come and she will get on their laps. She's gotten on the craniosacral table multiple times. She finds, like, the spot. She is... And if I raise my voice, if I get a little heated, she comes over and stops me. I'll watch that episode. Thank you. I totally agree.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody doesn't like cats, I'm suspicious of them. We're not going to be friends. I
know. You're like, well, I'm a cat, so I don't know. Like,
yeah. Oh. I love it. Yeah, you have a lot that I need to peruse on your site. So I love the work that you guys are doing with this. And it's interesting. I'm sure you've evolved in, like, the topics that you're being drawn to over the years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, like I said, we started off with sun episodes because I think that is the great healer that is missing from humanity. It's the greatest fear porn out there is the sun. And so we started there. And then we, of course, went into talking about deuterium depleted water and ozone and, you know, all sorts of things. But as we go into our third year, basically, I'm getting more and more into, I'm basically going into the space that you're going into, which is to question what even the alternative thing. So it's kind of like in stages. I'm going to go into, you know, decentralized medicine, right? And so suggesting the ozone, the IV, vitamin C, you know, all the nutraceuticals and stuff. And then now I'm like questioning even the quote-unquote naturopathy, mm-hmm. which to me now begins to feel like green allopathy. And so I feel more drawn to energy, the energy of things, and also 5D stuff, like very fascinated with near-death experiences and people having these dying moments where they go to the other side of the veil, the proverbial veil, and they come back with information. I'm like, hey, I want that information. I want that information. I don't want this Earth's information. I want the other side of the veil information, and I want to use that information from the other side of the veil as medicine.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm going to a workshop. It's a leap, but it is... it's this field you might be interested, which is why I'm bringing it up. It's called Chelontic Sciences. It's extremely esoteric, but it pulls together all the things that we've talked about, the grid, dark energies. Like I question the history of the world that we've been taught. Like, I think that's all wrong. And then it's so empowering because there are energetic practices that we can learn and do. And it's very spiritual. Like, that seems to be the most important pursuit. I'm with you. Spirit. Like, why are we here? Who are we? I got really into NDE stories a couple years ago. Yeah. And then my nephew actually essentially had an experience like that. And I thought, oh, this is why I've been in this world. Like, mm-hmm. look what he's going through now. But mm-hmm. yeah, I want to know the truth of like... Mm-hmm. that.
And I think that because of the bioweapons and soon to be technological weapons that they can implant into us, I think that the only way to heal and detox from those things, the vitamin C will no longer work, right? The ozone will no longer work as they really advance in the way that they can poison us mm-hmm. energetically. Radiation, mm-hmm. EMF, they're already doing it that way. Yeah. Like, as they get better at that, the biologics won't work. Your classic, what vitamins should I take? You know? Uh-huh. And so that's why I'm saying the energy medicine becomes the frequency medicine is the one that will have to step up. We will have to understand that and learn that. And again, I always go back to what Einstein said. That's the future of medicine because mm-hmm. he intuited that castor oil is not going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally agree. And it's also like all these assaults we're under, they're meant to disconnect us from our soul or from God. I really believe that. Like what Steiner said. Are you mm-hmm. familiar with his
yes.
quote?
Yes.
And I feel give that those quotes.
Do it. Give us the quote.
The quote. Yeah. There will be a time when a medicine is, I don't remember it essentially, yeah. but a medicine is given and accepted that its intent is to disconnect
yes.
humans from God, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can feel it with the technology and all of that. So that has to be the biggest part in it all, and it is energy. And you know, I get really into what were Jesus's early teachings, really. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I think he was actually teaching the dangerous things about our own power and that's our right. own energy systems that have now been like off limits by the church.
That's right.
That's a whole other tangent.
It is. But, and there was 11 years after he resurrected, there was 11 years before he actually ascended. He had 11 wow. years, and that's where you see the Pista Sophia, which is a Gnostic gospel. And that's a lot of, in my school, we study not only Apocrypha, but those teachings is when he really, really went into the psychology and stuff, and the Christian world won't touch it.
Wow.
And it's like, there is a lot of those teachings in that you just mentioned mm-hmm. right in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably my deepest inquiry is all of this now. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've been lied to about all this other stuff. Of course, there's inversion there.
Yeah.
Because It sounds cliched, but we really are so powerful. And I think that's what he was here to show us. Like,
yes,
you will do works greater than me.
Oh, I love
this
that.
This is the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Powerful. Just absolutely so empowering, that sentence. Like, hey, I'm going to do more than you or better. No, that's not
He's
possible.
He's like, I'm teaching. You're in kindergarten right now. I'm showing you the basics. This is real basic.
Yeah. But how effective it's been to make any reference to that, like sacrilegious or heretical, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that he traveled, that he was initiated into yoga, that all of it is just kind of like, off the table. And it's wild to me. Like,
Yeah, I think for the time, for now, I think, of course, marrying these, like you called it, benign prescriptions like chlorine dioxide with the spirituality, with the energy medicine, is still effective for now. And I think that two things to take home, it's like, is this medicine going to give me a negative side effect? If not, you can use it. Is this medicine going to detach me or untether me to my to God source or to my soul? Is it going to give me amnesia? Like, then if not, then it's usable and they're going to try to take it from you.
Mm-hmm.
You think about pharmaceutical drugs for depression, anxiety, that untethers you to your soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the take home here with like how I want to kind of bring it back to the chlorine dioxide is that here's a medicine that is benign. And it seems to be effective,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it's like we want to have access to these things that are affordable. They're not feeding centralized medicine pockets. It's pure autonomy for you. You can use it, make it in your home. And one way, and the only way that you'll know that this is toxic to you, apparently, or that you've taken too much, because there is really no toxicity profile other than you might get runny stools. Again, your body detoxing what it doesn't need, right? Is that the taste becomes very strong. Then you know you've taken too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So and there is a toxicity that you mentioned that basically you compared it to caffeine and coffee. Like you can, there is like, you can maybe mention that a little bit. And just for one more thing on top of that is the importance of doing detoxifying, detox pathway unblocking therapies like colonics, lymphatic work, like can be very helpful beforehand so you don't get the Herx effect or you don't get that big, huge detox response. Mm-hmm. A little bit, some runny stool. Okay, but I know that some people have gotten some pretty big, it's a detox response. It's not a negative or poisoning response. But then anyway, I want to go back to that first question about the analysis with caffeine comparison.
Yeah. Essentially, so when considering like the highest maximum dose that any person, pioneer, and this was a quote from Kalker, would recommend, you would need to, I think it's like 85 times more would be the toxic limit compared to the levels that they use in commercial industrial water purification systems. So we currently... And industry has used chlorine dioxide in water purification systems. Like mm-hmm. we use it. We know that it clears pathogens and makes water safe to drink. And so they have limits for that. So any of the dosages that would be recommended would be like an 85th of what those limits would be
it's
for
exceptionally
toxicity.
Low. Exceptionally it's, low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like the comparison to caffeine is it's like saying caffeine is toxic from a cup of coffee. You know, it's,
akin
to that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so what it looks like here, again, the numbers thing, right? So a 70 kilogram person would have to take around 23,800 milligrams of chlorine dioxide to become intoxicated, which you couldn't physically drink.
No. And there are cool stories of people taking wildly expanded doses compared to what's recommended. Like I read this person took 85 drops, which is a lot. and just drank it. And he did get ill. I mean, but he said he released like the most disgusting stuff through his bowels, but then he felt like a million bucks.
It kind of like sounds like the stuff you take to do a colonoscopy. It tastes like crap, literally tastes like crap. And then you take a big crap and you feel great. But yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds like the same cathartic response that you would take to prep for a colonoscopy. But we don't poo-poo
without
that.
Without drinking the Drano.
We don't poo-poo that. Like, we literally actually poo-poo that.
Yeah.
But there are really safe ways to do it. So especially with sensitive people, it seems like more and more people are sensitive these days. Mm. And so a nice way to ease into it is first take baths in it. Mm. So it's going in through the skin. Start with one bath a day, maybe go up to two baths a day, which, you know, depending on the person, that's kind of a tall order, two baths a day. But that would be a way to ease in. And then you can go to mixing MMS in a water bottle. So if you're going into a protocol, MMS is not stable. So it loses some potency over time, even if in a capped water bottle. But it's a way to ease in. You can do water bottle doses. So you're not getting the full dose of whatever protocol you're starting with. And then you can roll into actually doing live doses on the hour if, you know, that's your mission. But there are ways to avoid herxing. Janelle, like you mentioned, really important to do some sort of detox pathway cleansing before my mom. So she started a chlorine dioxide protocol. She loves it. But she decided to quit coffee at the same time, which is good because coffee is an antioxidant and it would essentially counteract the effects if you're doing them at the same time.
Good point.
But the coffee, yeah, there are other things. So like any citrus fruits, tons of stuff has antioxidants, teas, berries.
Oh.
You want to be at least 2 hours from any chlorine dioxide dose
with
any antioxidant food. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
So what... You know, if you're a coffee drinker, you could have coffee in the morning, wait 2 hours, then start your protocol. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she was going to cold turkey the coffee. And about 4 or 5 days into it, she started getting a rash. And I, you know, was digging into what's going on. I've never seen that. Well, she hadn't pooped in 5 days because the coffee moves her bowels.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, your toxins are trying to get out through your skin. You know, which also... like urine therapy is a whole other subject, but I thought that was interesting. Like that means that those toxins couldn't effectively escape through your urine. Like your bowels were blocked. They can't get out through your urine. So they had to go through your skin. Yeah. Super important. So there are ways to make sure that you are cleansed before you start. Always helpful.
We had an episode, your decentralized gold mine.
Yeah.
Urine therapy. Yeah. It's one of our one of our most
Shivambu,
one of our most listened to.
It actually podcasts. Is like top three episodes ever listened to.
Our ratings
to,
are high.
It's like people want to hear
Parasites
about
Parasites and Pee.
Parasites, Pee, and Dr. Cruz.
You had Dr. Cruz on. I guess he was rolling 3 years ago. You've had some great guests on.
Yeah, we have. It's been such a blast. Just great people really like cool yourself ride. Having great conversations. People that care.
Yeah.
It's so amazing doing this podcast. It's just like hanging out with good souls, you know. So we're grateful to add you to our great soul list.
I am super, super humbled and honored. It's nice to find that like-mindedness too. I did kind of a crunchy interview with the medical director of one of the products I really like. And, you know, I like dipped my toes in and realized early on, we're not on the same page there. That's cool. Okay. We'll keep it.
Yeah.
Keep it pretty straight.
What do we say with Dr. Kalkler? We're getting the band back together.
We're getting the, yeah.
B-A-N-N-E-D.
We like band people, band books.
We're getting the band back together.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That was the,
I'm
that
excited.
Was a great
line. He's awesome. I've wanted to take his course. So he has an oxidative therapies course. I've thought about that.
Yeah.
He's such a lovely lad.
He's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Well, we've just really enjoyed this. And Yeah, we're going to make sure that in our show notes we have links when it's time for your amazing album to come out or your songs to come out. And maybe tell
you.
Us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, like wrapping up just your work, maybe tell us about your website, your Substack.
People can thanks. Find you. My website, I just was looking last night. It feels like a bomb exploded there. I'm just going to be transparent. That business part of things is the hardest part of what I do. So I'm all DIY. There's a lot going on the website, and I hope to make it a little more concise. But I have an online store, and I'm excited about that. It's just like a highly curated, select number of products. There's a lot on there about the state of the world and kind of my like heart and soul emerging. And some education projects. I'm teaching like an alternative modern history class right now to a couple local high schoolers.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's this curriculum that came out, Palace Center. They're great. I like am friends now with the founders. They created this amazing curriculum and they keep releasing units like this. They just released this unit study on climate change.
Wow.
And it's just coming from a really balanced perspective. So anyway, there are some resources for education, though. I love the idea of us sharing our resources as we try to like raise our kids in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then music. And music is finally starting to roll. I've got a lot that I'm about to release and slowly growing my Substack channel. But the idea with the online store is I tend to sell it locally anyway. So it's really a way of supporting yourself and my music endeavors, kind of win-win, like by supporting my story, you're helping me push art forward in the world, which I do feel any of us called to do that should. And the world doesn't value it always. It's a labor of love and hard to finance, frankly. But yeah, I'm excited about the coming years because I feel like some things are coming together musically. And there's this space now for like conscious music. And now I see the path, whereas before it's like, you know, yeah, I don't want to be in Hollywood. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to do here.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
That's well, amazing. We had an episode on music as medicine.
Oh, yeah.
With Paulina.
It's called Voice, Vagus, and Vagina.
Voice, Vagus, and Ooh. Vagina.
Yeah.
If that doesn't make you want to click it open.
I have heard of that. I have. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will click it open.
Yeah,
as
good.
A singer, like I've heard like there's a connection with that whole path. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what she was talking about a bit.
Yeah. She's telling us her journey and her impressions. And then we had a kind of a cool, she had to hop off and then we continued with a lot of kind of the science and a lot of the stuff around that connected to what she had shared.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. A format of an episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, clearly my description or my understanding of medicine is that medicine is everywhere. It's all around you and it comes in forms that would not be marketed as such. Right. So like music to me is medicine, especially conscious medicine, a conscientious effort to actually raise vibration, raise the spirit and be thoughtful on the vocals. You know, it's always the vocals that kind of move me away from any kind of performer. I think that the Hollywood and the music industry is controlled by the powers that we don't want to be. And that is a programming. So I'm always looking for high vibe music production.
Yeah, I do record in 432 and I kind of got on that train early-ish. Honestly, it's more resonant to sing to. I've always had this tendency to be a little flat. And then when I discovered 432, it's just right there. And there's lots of studies on that. I'm actually writing an article about that now. A friend of mine who has a huge musical following, she did this whole study on it and got audience, like she collected data related to listening to 432 music versus 440, and it's super compelling. But yeah, it's been weaponized, the even the frequency that we use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just want to call this out. The date of this interview is April 17th, 2026. And we have just had like six planets are in Aries today. Yesterday, that went, you know, kind of to the Chiron, this part of the Chiron in Aries. And I am just feeling the divine exorcism, which then is pulling in so much truth, so much empowerment and sovereignty. And I have just felt it crackling through this conversation.
Amazing.
And it's like we're connecting with you on Zoom, but like you're right here with us. Like, yeah, there is no distance right now. I mean, there's been many times I've just like had these goosebump moments, and I just felt in the presence of really this connection that we have is such what this is God. This is like what God has laid out for us, like a banquet. And it's so worth holding on to. It's so worth fighting for. So I just want to I just wanted to call that out.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful moment. Yeah. Thank you, Janelle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's lonely. I know I've used that word multiple times, but like I really felt even early in 2020 as friends were kind of being pulled away and it was so crazy. God is putting the people in our lives to do mm-hmm. this and make this work. Mm-hmm. And I respect you guys so much. Makes me so happy for this. I know that those of you that stayed in the Seattle area, like we escaped and I have some guilt for that, but man, you're needed to anchor that area so much. I feel it. Mm-hmm. We could talk.
And there will be more. Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm already like, we're going to come visit you. And
I
like,
know. Like, road trip.
Yeah. This morning, since we're here in the, you know, we're just outside of Seattle, I was like, I wonder if they have a studio. I could just zip into their studio this morning. But next time.
Oh, I know. It's so funny because I actually visualized you here. And then when Janelle said you're in Idaho, I was like, oh, that's so weird. I thought, you know, basically kind of visualized you being here, so maybe we have a second conversation and we do it here.
Great.
I'll make you guys dinner or something.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
I would love to get to know you better.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, you have friends in us, so now
yeah we're grateful for the conversation, and I know our listeners are absolutely going to love it. So thank you so much for your time, for your work, your spirit, your presence.
Such an honor, you guys. Yeah, I can't wait to see what unfolds for you next. And thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. Love you.
Love you.
We hope this conversation has empowered you. Remember, you are unique and you are a miracle. Your body doesn't make mistakes. It responds perfectly to an imperfect environment. Until next time, go get that life.